I'm Vermont Edition producer Sam Gail Rosen. This podcast has been edited for clarity and brevity. Thanks for listening.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. In 2012, to fanfare, a new mural was revealed in Burlington, in an alley leading to a parking garage just off Church Street. Running the length of the building, Everyone Loves a Parade depicts famous and important Vermonters and Burlingtonians through the state's history. In a 7 Days article written before the mural was finished, reporter Kevin Kelly wrote, quote, "The mural will be coated to protect it from ultraviolet light and to ensure easy removal of any graffiti. These treatments should mean that Parade won't require restoration for at least a dozen years." Well, it doesn't look like it's going to make it a dozen years without a change. It's not graffiti that's the problem. That actually can be removed. It's the mural itself that's causing controversy. Last October, an activist named Albert Petrarca spray-painted on a part of the mural and began publicly decrying the mural for its lack of diversity and its whitewashing of history. Others have joined the call for the mural to be changed, and the cry has become loud enough that it can't be ignored by city officials. But what exactly to do about the mural is now the question. During a city council meeting in January, where the council invited comments about the mural's future, Don Stevens, chief of the Nalhegan Abenaki tribe, told the city that he and other chiefs should be consulted directly for their feelings about the mural.
Please speak to us directly, the chiefs or our representatives. We are more than willing to work with you. We would like to promote education and cultural opportunities, which I think Burlington has a unique position to be able to afford that and be able to be the leaders and being able to uplift people and learn about our culture, including the mural. It's problematic just from the fact that it doesn't represent Abenaki people. I want to find ways to work with you guys in promoting our culture in a positive manner.
City resident Lisa Lord also spoke up at that event.
I see the mural as representative of the racist structure of our society, both in our country and right here in Vermont. I see the mural as supporting white people's blindness to, legacy of, and continued contribution to a racist system. When those two aspects of the mural are combined, the mural then becomes permission for our racist structure to continue. That is not all right on any level, and it is why I request the mural be removed immediately.
There have been other suggestions as well. How about a new mural facing the old one or augmenting the old one to add new faces? A few days ago, the city council voted to form a task force to figure out what should be done about this thorn in the city's side. We're going to look at the issue today, and later in the segment, Burlington Mayor Moreau Weinberger will join us with his perspective. We're also going to put this in context of debates now over public art, over inclusion, over history, and how to face up to history, or whether to erase it, erase murals, or take down statues. Here in the studio with me now is Councilmember Ali Jing. Welcome to the show. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you, Jane, for having me.
What's your position on this mural and whether or not it should stay as it is?
Yep, I do believe that the city of Burlington have been trying to do their best in making sure that we are an inclusive and open city to every single person. Now, this mural was put, and I am sure that the intention was valid in making sure that to not hurt anybody. But now, like you said, Alberta Patriarca did raise this concern since October. We haven't taken action, meaning to talk about what we're going to do with this exact mural. But when I joined the council, let's say 6 months ago, the first thing in my mind was I want to bring some different perspective. Because when we talk about art, it should not hurt every single person here. It is hurting people. And to me, it is important for the city to take action, and taking action meaning that we need to take it down and also start over.
There's now going to be formed a task force. I believe this is supposed to be a 7-member task force, and it is supposed to be formed by the middle of next month and then deliver a report in the middle of summer to the city council and to the city. I think you voted against that, but do you support the idea of a task force?
Yeah, so I introduced a resolution in January asking for the city attorney to look into the legal ramification in taking the mural down. So that report came back to us, but to me, it was not thorough. It did not give us a lot of information, such as who owned the mural. We did not even know if the city had the chance to talk to the artist, Pierre Hardy.
You know, right, because there are questions about what the city even can do about the mural. Does the artist own the mural in some way? I mean, it's on not on an artist-owned building, but can, you know, there are often rules around what a city can do to public art that without informing the artist or without the artist's permission.
Yeah, so based on my research and from what I heard, I mean, with other communities, you know, there is this art law, legal ramification, just asking that we call Vira. Vira, to me, what it means from what I understand is basically you need, if you want to take a mural down or an artwork down, all you need to do is to give the artist 90-day notice. And we know that there was a mural before this Everyone Loved the Parade mural.
That's right. There was a mural that was painted over by the Everyone Loves the Parade
exactly.
mural.
And we don't know if that artist had been given any notice before they take her mural down.
Okay, so there are some legal questions for the city. What can the city do? Does the city own the mural? Does the city need to get permission from the artist? Do you have a personal perspective on what you would like to see happen with the mural if those legal issues can be worked out?
Definitely. So the resolution that I introduced did have this component of creating a 9-member task force to look into what will be next after we take down this mural. But for political reasons, you know, I was asked to take that aspect of that resolution down, mm-hmm. which I respected, and I took it down. Just asking now the city attorney to get back to us. She got back to us, but I still do believe that it is important. Anything that we should do, we look into a sustainability lens, also in equity lens, which did not happen. So we know that in 2004, there was a statement of goodwill by the businesses of Church Street Marketplace. And one of them is saying that we are opposed to any discrimination or profiling based on race, greed, ethnicity, etc. Discrimination or profiling hurt all members of this community. The mural is hurting people. Let's take it down. That 7-member task force will then let us know what we need to do.
We're talking today about the mural just off Church Street that is causing controversy. It was painted in 2011 and 2012, revealed in 2012, and it depicts a timeline. The artist, Pierre Hardy, a Canadian artist, says it's based on a timeline from 1609 to 2009, and so it's supposed to, everybody loves a parade. It's a parade of time and a parade of people, but it is facing accusations of being not inclusive, of whitewashing history. We did reach out to Pierre Hardy, the artist, and he declined to come on the show. He's living in semi-seclusion, he says, and he's retired from art. But he did respond to our request to explain the mural in more detail and to the charges that it's exclusionary. And I'm going to read just a part of what he wrote to us. He said, at the time of conceptualizing the mural, from myself or the group of participants involved in research, collecting, and sourcing, there were no considerations made to specifically identify, promote, place, or render any race, sexual orientation, or faith or religion. It was all about the people of Vermont. Pierre notes that he has included, quote, the first African-American to obtain and be awarded a bachelor's degree. Then there's a ribbon dancer girl who is African-American. The other ribbon dancer is Asian. So is your mayor's daughter. And the trombone player of the band Fish is African-American. That's a quote from Pierre Hardy. He also says this mural, quote, was to become the start of a great outdoor gallery circuit. Numerous suitable blind walls in the district have been identified for this to create a bank of potential walls for more murals in Burlington. And he's told other reporters that he would be supportive of a second mural that brought in more faces, more people, and more ideas about who and what Burlington represents. Councilmember Ali Jiang, do you support the idea of a second mural that might have more inclusivity, more new Americans, actual Abenaki? The one Native person on the wall in the mural is not dressed in Abenaki clothing. So would you support that idea?
Yeah, and I think before that I weigh on that, I think it is important also for Pierre Hardy and also the listeners to understand that the person of African descent have resided in Burlington since the first United States census that took place in 1790.
Right. There have been people of color in Vermont and in Burlington
exactly,
throughout history.
Throughout history. And also when we talk about this mural, it's not specifically about people of color. It is also missing people with disability. Just listen to the title. Everyone Loves the Parade. You look at the mural, you don't see people with disability, intellectual or physical disability. Gay, lesbian in our community are not represented. Just businesses, people who have money, who donated money, have their business logo on it. I think it is really important for us to not think about a second mural. One community, one mural. That is inclusive for every single person here.
Let's bring another voice into the conversation here as well as we talk about this mural, because this controversy and the debate over what should be done is happening, sure, in Burlington and in Vermont, but it's in the context of other conversations about inclusivity, about what we want communities to be, and how we address public art, often public art or statues that are much older that depict other scenes in history. But how do we deal with this in our current culture when we look back at a culture that may not have represented all that we want to be today in some cases? Let's talk now to Dartmouth College art history professor Mary Coffey. She can help us with that. Professor Coffey, nice to have you on the program.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So how do you put this into context? Because we're seeing these kinds of conversations happen in a lot of different ways in a lot of different communities.
Yeah, so, I mean, there are different ways to answer that question, but I guess I'll start by saying that one of the things I often say about public art controversies is that art becomes the place where we try to address structural problems that are harder to address in other arenas of life. And I'm quite sympathetic to the arguments that we just heard. In particular, the city councilors asked us to consider questions of equity and justice rather than sort of simplistic conceptions of diversity or sort of racial profiling, as the artist has brought that up. So thinking about sort of what's being addressed, you have to listen carefully, and it's always a contextualized sort of question. What are the specific concerns that are being raised here? And what I'm hearing in this particular case are people talking about the representation of the history of Vermont and its population, and pointing out again and again that, for instance, people of color have been a part of the population of the state and the city since before it was the United States existed, that the Abenaki are the original peoples in the region. They're not accurately represented in the mural, and that there are a number of communities that are not represented in the mural at all, not even in a sort of a tokenistic way. So I think what you're hearing is people asking questions about the history and the ways in which murals can sort of, and public works of art that attempt to present a people or a regional identity, can sort of fix public conceptions of that history. And when those public conceptions that are fixed in those murals are so exclusive, and in this case, sort of reminiscent of a long tradition of American murals that we can date at least back to the New Deal public mural programs, when they're sort of folks consistently emphasizing a kind of great man, predominantly white sort of settler narrative of history, that is, history begins with at the point of conquest or at the point of colonization and continues up to the present in a kind of uninterrupted and largely progressivist flow. I think those are the questions that are being raised. Having said that, it's very difficult for a single work of art to quote-unquote represent everyone and everything. And this is one of the central challenges of public art, whether it's memorials or monuments commemorating a particular event or conflict, or whether it's figurative mural art like what we have here that are attempting to sort of represent a community or a state or a regional identity. You're always going to fall short of a sort of comprehensive representation. And so I think one of the things we've seen more recently, say in the last 20 years or so, is that when cities undertake these kinds of projects now, as opposed to in the past where these questions were less present, they often now seek to involve the very community members and public that they imagine are being represented by the mural rather than...
But let me ask you about that in the context of this particular mural, Professor Coffey, because, you know, we have seen these kinds of issues arise in communities that have public art or statues that commemorate an important historical figure that were placed, as you said, a long time ago, that were put up in the 50s or the 20s or even the 70s. This mural was conceived of in about 2009. It was painted in 2011 and 2012. Pierre Hardy, the artist, said he spoke with hundreds of Vermonters to get an idea of what to include, hundreds of Burlingtonians. But, you know, 2012 is not the same as being able to say, oh, we didn't know. It was an earlier time. And, you know,
Absolutely.
We got a note from Ray who says, how did people not see the potential problem of this during the process of approving the mural in the first place? So does it matter, do you think, that this is basically a modern painting. I mean, 2012 is only, what, 6 years ago?
It does matter. It always matters. I mean, one of the things that always matters in controversies over public art is sort of under what conditions was this thing produced, sort of what were the sort of ideological or sort of messaging concerns at the moment of production, but also how has it been received. And, you know, works of art are public works of art tend to be relatively static. That is, you put them up and they're there forever, but everything around them changes. And so I would argue that, yeah, 2011, 2012 is pretty late in the game of public art for this kind of mural to be commissioned and executed without anybody raising questions about this. It would be a different story if this were a mural from the New Deal era. However, I would also say that 2012 was a very different moment than 2018, and this is one of these things that makes us see just how quickly kind of reception can change and how much reception will be informed by what's going on in the broader sort of political, cultural, economic environment. In 2012, we had a different president. We had a different sort of set of social concerns. And I think the reason that we're seeing a lot of public art controversy sort of erupting right now is because for many people, the sort of long legacies of sort of settler nationalism, the legacies of slavery, the legacies of Jim Crow, the legacies of the sort of Civil War era and its the sort of destruction of the social safety net, et cetera, that these things are playing out in a really pronounced way right now. And again, this becomes a site for the community to address those concerns, which isn't to say that it's invalid to be critical of the mural or even to be calling for its destruction, removal, or augmentation. It's just to say that 2012, even though it was very recent, and we would have thought maybe we learned these lessons, say, 30 years ago, it was a very different moment than 2018.
Well, let me read a couple of comments, and Councillor Jiang, I'd love to get your perspective on this as well. So Frank in Derby says, why can't an artist with great skill add to the mural the group of people who think they're being eliminated instead of removing such a great piece of artwork? And Keith says, this is a well-done mural in a proper place in the cityscape. I'm all for celebrating diversity, so paint a new mural somewhere depicting it to your heart's content. Defacing, editing, or altering the art of others is not the answer. And I will point out that the varnish that was placed on this mural to prevent destruction of the mural by graffiti so that the graffiti could be wiped off will also make it extremely difficult to add to the mural now. But this idea of a second mural, I mean, Ali Jiang, Professor Coffey mentioned no one piece of art can represent everyone or everything. So why not have a second piece of artwork somewhere that celebrates other parts of Burlington?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, I mean, I think what she talked about, because it's just a small mural and our history is very rich. Our history, you know, has been dating since 1773. I mean, I don't believe that, you know, the whole alleyway, if I had the power, it would become a piece of art. And we will not even talk about the whole history and also represent everyone in this community. But here, this is a message that we want to send. Basically, this mural is being used by students in our communities that come in to, you know, to learn about history. But at the same time, you can see people advertising tobacco on its own specific mural. And also, we know that many of those businesses that have signed them did not apply for a permit. Because usually you should not have your permit elsewhere other than your own business. Mm. But it's there.
So, and because part of this was a funding issue, that businesses that helped to fund the mural, helped to fund this public artwork, could get some representation on the mural in exchange for that money.
Yeah. So basically, again, this is saying that if you have the power, if you have the money, you can be included. But if you don't, if you're poor, if you're just a working family, your business or your name or your face won't be on that mural. So there are so many things that are problematic about this mural.
Yeah, what do you think, Professor Coffey?
I think that's a great point. I think he's right. I mean, there is something complicated about this particular mural in that it seems to be so, that public sort of civic mindedness seems to be so intermingled with private sort of commercial interests. And this is not this is not unusual in the sort of 1990s, 2000s. We see that our sort of a 1930s conception of public space as a kind of democratic sphere in which people come together as sort of equals to debate and make decisions about government and sort of group values has slowly sort of eroded over the last half century to sort of increasingly become where public space is increasingly understood as sort of commercial or corporate space. And so I think he's right to point out that when you have kind of essentially advertising for the patrons in the mural, and the patrons happen to be sort of business, local business owners, then you are raising questions both about the mural's sort of edificatory value for the purposes of public education or information about Burlington, and you're also raising questions about the intermingling of politics and advertisement. And, you know, patrons have always been represented in murals, going back to the Italian Renaissance and earlier, when you have sort of the wealthy people paying for the altarpiece depicted in the same sort of space as the Holy Family, for instance. Nonetheless, we have also again come to a point where we're where it's legitimate and important to raise questions about mixing money and sort of public-minded statements about the community and community values.
That's Dartmouth art history professor Mary Coffey helping us understand the context for this conversation around a mural in Burlington that's causing controversy. Professor Coffey, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you.
I'm Jane Lindholm, and this is Vermont Edition. Today, we're wading into an issue of controversy in Burlington, a mural known as Everybody Loves a Parade, which was commissioned by the city and completed in 2012. As we've heard, the artist intended it to be a parade through time, featuring familiar, historical, and current Vermonters and Burlingtonians of note. But not everyone feels like it's an accurate or inclusive picture, and many people would like to see it changed or perhaps even taken down. Others call for a second mural, perhaps facing the original, that could include a more diverse cast. But there's an ick factor to that for many, a sense of separate but equal status. And still others say, this is a lovely mural. It's a historical representation. It's an artist's rendering. If it's overwhelmingly white, that's because so is Vermont, and don't change a thing. We've been getting notes from people who like the mural and are worried that they might see it change, as well as others who see a problem with it. John says, I'm what you would call a Northeast liberal. I'm against racism, and I stand up against it whenever I see it. That said, I get upset with people unfairly using the racism card, and I feel like this is one of those cases. Every time it's used, the effect is weakened. I'm disappointed by those that refer to this as racism. They need to pick their battles more wisely. And Chris says, the mural tells the truth of Vermont and its history. Why change it? Look at the demographics today compared to the last 400 years. The entire state lacks diversity, so why rewrite history? Telling the truth and remembering the past as it is should not make anyone uncomfortable. Whoever complains or questions the mural might need to take the time to review the demographic data of Burlington and the state. Again, share your perspective. Call 800-639-2211 or post your notes on the VPR Facebook page. We're talking today with City Council member Ali Jiang, who supports changing the mural, doing something different, and who points out that people of color have been living in Burlington and in Vermont for as long as there has been this landscape. We have also been talking with Mary Coffey, who's a Dartmouth art history professor, who was helping us contextualize this. And now on the line with us is Burlington Mayor Moreau Weinberger. Mayor, welcome to the show.
Jane, good to be with you.
So, you also have to weigh in on this conversation. It became an issue during your reelection campaign. Now there is going to be a task force formed that should look at this mural. But what's your position and has it evolved?
Yeah. Well, the creation of the task force was something that I supported and that we proposed as a way through what I think is really a difficult community moment. I am certainly sympathetic to those that have voiced concerns about the mural. As soon as it went up in the early weeks of my time as mayor, I was uneasy about it. Sorry, I'm speaking to you from the police department here. Sorry for the background noise. As soon as it went up, I had some misgivings about it. I did not think it sent the inclusive, welcoming message that we seek to at this point in Burlington's history.
But you consented to have you and your family pictured on the mural.
You know, this was something that had been worked on for many years and was in the final stages of completion. And yes, like numerous other Vermont leaders, agreed to be shown on it, but did have some misgivings from the start. And so when in recent months this has become a controversy again, I didn't think it was something that could just be ignored because I've always had some uneasiness about it. I don't think it's clear what the right solution is, and that the mural also was certainly a very well-intentioned effort. And has done some positive things for that part of the city. This is an area that we used to have public safety issues in that we don't see as much of anymore. It's brought some activity and interest and life to what had been a problematic alleyway. Given that kind of problem and conflicting, interests, I've supported the creation of this task force that will be made up of well-respected members of the community who will weigh our different options here. And I think those options go well beyond the ones you listed as the leading into this segment. There may well be other ways for Burlington to do what needs to be done here to address the pain that has been caused by this mural, to send the welcoming, inclusive message that we seek to, that doesn't risk what I expect would be a very substantial backlash were we to go out and just take down a piece of art that I think many people appreciate and like. So,
and again, there are still questions, as Councilmember Jiang mentioned, about whether that would even be legal for the city to do. And let me stop you for just a moment and bring Councilmember Jiang back in here. Are you and the mayor on the same page now, do you think?
What I know is clear is basically that 52% that voted for the mayor's appointment during this race for mayor, they made it very clear that if they had the power and the leadership, they would take it down. And I think for this specific issue, it requires leadership, strong leadership, because we know the City of Burlington Diversity and Equity Strategic Plan that was prepared by the Vermont Partnership for Fairness and Diversity did give us 3 recommendations: to eliminate race-based disparity across the city department, to promote inclusion and engagement, and also to eliminate race-based disparity across the Burlington City Department. And this specific issue is not about race. It is about inclusion in general. We are missing people with disability. We know kids who have who use this mural every single day for learning purposes. You know, I think it takes leadership. If there is a problem, you are the leader of this city. People speak out. You need to take action.
Do you think he's not doing that?
I don't think bringing this, the council itself, with the mayor, we could have taken action on the spot after we hear a legal ramification from taking it down, altering it. But we want to give it now to a task force. And I don't know that task force, maybe it will even just die there. Hmm. Let's take action, take it down, alter it. We need to make those decisions and not allow other people to do it for us. And now one thing, Albert Einstein said it, and I think it's very clear. He said that you cannot solve a problem with the same level of thinking that you used to create them.
So, Mayor Weinberger, what do you think?
Well, I certainly respect Councillor Jiang and his perspective on this issue. I don't agree with a number of things that he just suggested. And I think it's worth noting that no one else on the city council agreed with his perspective either. It was a 9-1 vote to proceed with the course that we are going down, which is leadership, I believe, which is saying here's a community problem where the solution is not obvious and where taking precipitous action would actually likely heighten racial tensions within the community. I think it is leadership to say we're going to set up a process by which the community can engage this, share their different perspectives, and have people from different backgrounds weigh in and make recommendations to the city council and the mayor, who will ultimately make a decision about what to do here. I mean, to the degree we have the legal authority to address this issue, this is coming back to us as the resolution lays out in the months ahead. And we will at that point, I think, be well positioned to make a decision. I'm not following Councillor Jiang's thinking entirely as to why it is bad to have a task force weigh in and make recommendations.
One of the questions, though, I think, is often a task force is seen as a way to kick the can down the road or kick the can to another group. You know, we're not going to make a decision, because you often hear, and whether or not this is valid in this case or not, we'll find out. But you often hear people say, a task force, you know, a new task force to look at this issue. Let's do something. And so I think there can be a perception that a task force is a way just to push the problem out.
Certainly, task force can be used that way. That's not what's happening here, Jane. This is a task force that is being assembled and that there's great interest in serving on since the council decided this. I can't tell you how many people have told me they want to be part of this discussion. And this group is going to, I think, have a really interesting opportunity not only to weigh in on what should happen here, but I also think set some precedent for how we think about and create public art in the future. Clearly, one of the things that went wrong here is that we don't quite have our processes. We didn't back in 2009, 2010, when this work for this was being done, have all the right processes, thinking, constraints in place to make sure that we proceeded with an important piece of public art in the right way. I think this task force will get to have an impact on that as well. So I don't see this as some... I'm very hopeful that this is going to be a very meaningful process that will leave us in a better place, both with respect to this mural and more broadly with public art in general in the community.
We got a note from Mary Lacey, who's a well-known muralist who's also done artwork around Burlington and other communities in Vermont and elsewhere. And she says, I've never seen murals as permanent fixtures. They weather and fade naturally. They are reflections of their surrounding environments. And when their environments change, so should they. And let's go to Genevieve calling in from Burlington. Hi, Genevieve. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you, Councillor Ali Jiang, and also Mayor. I had the privilege of actually reading an email from a Wabanaki chief written, I believe, in 2010 to the city council and city offices of the mayor. He was pleading expressly not to be ignored. The artist responded with a sort of a rejection of the notion that there should be further discussion about including our Native American Wabanaki ancestry and community members. I also would just like to comment that my overall impression of the mural is very commercial, not as a piece of art, but as something that sort of borders on the billboard laws.
Well, Genevieve, I appreciate your perspective. Thank you for sharing it. I want to get one more in here in the short time we have. David is calling in from Burlington. David, can you be concise in your perspective?
Yes. I think that a great opportunity is being missed here. I think that an option would be to leave the mural as is and to feature unchanged the graffitied plaque that goes with it, with an additional plaque that explains the controversy, and that if there was and pointing them to a second mural, that would not be, I don't know that it would have an ick factor. I think that a second mural in the context of a discussion that's there as to why is this graffiti here? Why was this an issue? Let's see, this is a more accurate representation and pointing people and using that as an educational tool.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, David. Mayor Weinberger, you mentioned that there are other options that are still being considered. Is that potentially one of them?
Yeah, I think that's a great example of the kind of suggestion and thinking that this committee will be able to grapple with. And I do hope that there'll be some creative recommendations that come forth. I also, just to the first caller's point, showing the complexity and the challenge with this issue, I had not actually heard of that input previously, but I have heard from leaders of the Abenaki community currently, and they do not support taking down the mural. They are concerned that to do that at this point would risk really serious backlash, and have supported the course the city is now on of having a thoughtful community conversation to try to get to the right solution.
Well, there's more to come on this, certainly, and I appreciate you, Mayor Weinberger, and you, Councilmember Ali Jiang, being a part of this conversation today. Thanks very much to both of you.
Thanks, Jane, for the conversation.